Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Belong to an organization called La Raza, in this case, which is, from my point of view anyway, just nothing more than a Latino, it's a counterpart, it's a Latino KKK without the hoods and or the nooses. If you belong to something like that, you have to explain that in a way that's going to convince me and a lot of other people that it's got nothing to do with race. The logo for La Raza is all for the race, nothing for the rest.
All right, we're not talking about. You know what?
She's a member.
We're not talking about La Raza here, though. We're talking about that specific.
But she's a member.
But the thing that has.
She's a member of La Raza.
Yes, I'm the great pretender.
GIF, it's the Savage Nation Rock and Roll Friday. Of course, we're talking about Judge Sotomayor, who belongs to La Raza. Now, you know my position, which is that we ought to count our blessings because she seems to be the most reasonable of the far left that Obama had on his so-called shortlist. That doesn't mean she's a good choice, but don't expect them to put a centrist on or a conservative. I mean, be real. If she was smart, she would withdraw her name from La Raza immediately and take her name off that list because it should come to haunt her. I have said for years that the words La Raza mean the race. It says what it is. It's a separatist group, a supremacist group. Now, if a white candidate for the Supreme Court, a white male, let us say of Anglo-Saxon heritage, belonged to a group called the race, I kind of think that Turban Durbin and the other turncoats in the Democrat Party would be all over them saying, how could you belong to a group that glorifies only the white race? We're going to also talk about suicides in the Army. We touched on that yesterday. Can you play one of the sound bites so people can catch up to speed on that one?
Brian, I know anyone? That I don't need to give this speech to 99% of you. But there's probably about a half a percent of you that have had thoughts of harming yourself. And there's probably another half a percent of you that know soldiers who have thought that. But it doesn't matter because we're all one team. And we're all in this
together. They have a problem in the Army of young men, mainly young men, committing suicide. And they're trying to talk them off the cliff by saying, you know, if you have these inclinations, come to see us or whatever. And we were speculating on the Savage Nation as to why there are suicides in the Army, particularly amongst the Flying Eagles. These are paratroopers. And a friend of mine sent me this. It said, Michael, no mission statement for either theater under too many days of continuous combat. Marines rotate their men every 6 months. The Army does not. Overuse of the Army for things not meant for the military, such as building schools, roads, sewer plants, and digging wells. No clear-cut orders to protect the soldier. They're told to call a lawyer before they can fire on a mosque. It goes on and on. Of course, they're putting them on drugs as well. Care to chime in on that? 1-800-449-8255. There's another story that I just found that you gun lovers, of which I am one, will appreciate. Oklahoma druggist arrested for killing holdup man. Now, you have to read the entire story from the Associated Press to realize that the two holdup men, both of whom were black youths, were armed with guns. You have to read the whole story until you read that they were armed with guns. I'll read you the story, and you'll see what kind of sickness passes for journalism today. Oklahoma City AP, Tim Talley, Associated Press. Oklahoma druggist arrested for killing holdup man. Confronted by two holdup men, pharmacist Jerome Erslin pulled a gun, shot one of them in the head, and chased the other away. Then in a scene recorded by the drugstore security camera, he went behind the counter, got another gun, and pumped five more bullets into the wounded teenager as he lay on the floor. Now Erslin has been charged with first-degree murder in a case that has stirred a furious debate over vigilante justice and self-defense and turned the pharmacist into something of a folk hero. Ursuline, age 57, is free on $100,000 bail courtesy of an anonymous donor. He has won praise from the pharmacy's owner, received an outpouring of cards, letters, and checks from supporters. His adrenaline was going. You're just thinking of survival, said John Paul Hernandez, 60, a retired Defense Department employee who grew up in the neighborhood. All it was is defending your employee, business, and livelihood. If I was in that position and that was me, I probably would have done the same thing. D.A. David Pratt said Ursuline was justified in shooting 16-year-old Antoine Parker once in the head, but not firing the additional shots into his belly. The prosecutor said the teenager was unconscious, unarmed, lying on his back, and posing no threat when Ursuline fired what the medical examiner said were the fatal shots. Anthony Douglas, president of the Oklahoma chapter of the NAACP, that's the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, called it an, quote, execution-style murder, and praised the DA for bringing charges. Ursuline is white. The two suspects are black. Parker's parents also expressed relief that Ursuline faces a criminal charge. He didn't have to shoot my baby like that, Parker's mother, Cleta Jennings, told a local TV station. But many of those who have seen the video of the May 19th robbery attempt at Reliable Discount Pharmacy have concluded the teenager in the ski mask got what he deserved. You hear this? Now, the pharmacist is a former Air Force lieutenant colonel who wears a back brace on the job, told reporters he is a disabled veteran of the Gulf War. Shannon, one caller to a radio show, said he should have put all the shots in the head. Don Spencer, a 49-year-old National Rifle Association member who lives in a small town in Meridian, 40 miles north of Oklahoma City, said the pharmacist did the right thing. You shoot more than enough to make sure the threat has been removed. That's the story. Now, you have to read on to find out what actually happened because, as you know, the Associated Press is so twisted, they may as well be working for Joseph Stalin in the 1940s in the Soviet Union. So let's read on. The pharmacy is in a crime-ridden section of South Oklahoma City and had been robbed before. The video shows two men bursting in, one of them pointing a gun at Ursuline. So you have to read the whole story to find out one of the poor black teenagers had a gun and that one of the poor black teenagers point the gun at the pharmacist and two women working with the druggist behind the counter. That came in later. See, that's what they teach you in journalism school today. Bury anything that shows that the perpetrator is actually a perpetrator. Make them always innocent and always make the innocent man guilty! The video shows two men bursting in. Points a gun at Ursuline and two women working with the druggist behind the counter. Ursuline fires a pistol, driving the gunman from the store and hitting Parker in the head as he puts on a ski mask. Ursuline chases the second man outside, then goes back inside, walks behind the counter with his back to Parker, gets a second handgun, and opens fire. On the Oklahoma's Make My Day law, could you play some rock and roll? This is horrible. Under Oklahoma's Make My Day law, passed in the late 1980s, a name for one of Clint Eastwood's most famous movie lines, people can use deadly force when they feel threatened by an intruder inside their homes. In 06, Oklahoma's Stand Your Ground law extended that to anywhere a citizen has the right to be, such as a car or office. It's a Make My Day case, Box said. This guy came in, your money or your life, Mr. Ursuline said, you're not taking my life, the gunman forfeited his life. Box said that another person might have reacted differently, but he asked, when do you turn off that adrenaline switch? When do you think you're safe? I think that's going to be the ultimate issue. If convicted, Ursuline could be sentenced to life in prison with or without parole or receive the death penalty. You hear this? The 14-year-old boy accused of wielding the gun in the robbery was arrested Thursday. The DA said he will seek murder charges against a teenager, a man accused of being the getaway driver, and another man suspected of helping talk the teens into the crime. The story is Oklahoma druggist arrested for killing holdup man. I have no questions for the jury. None whatsoever. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. You want to talk about Judge Sonia Sotomayor? Do you want to talk about suicides in the military? Do you want to talk about, well, you know, there's so many good sound bites here that I could actually introduce a few more topics. Hey, whatever happened with the nuclear weapon in North Korea? That got buried with some singing star who looks like the posterior parts of Stan Laurel. Has anyone noticed that what the media is doing, what Moloch is doing to your brain? They've buried the story of North Korea setting off a nuclear weapon, ripping up the Armistice Agreement of 1953, America defecating in its pants, the phony chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff getting a new pressing on his suit because he sweat a little bit. Instead, Moloch keeps showing you the picture of someone who looks like the posterior of Stan Laurel's behind, who is singing, because I guess he owns that show as well. So what are you going to do? That's the world you live in. You'll wake up to, let us say, Alaska fried by a nuclear weapon or Hawaii, and then you'll say, oh, my goodness, Obama tried. I mean, he had to do health care reform. He tried his best. He was working on health care reform. How could he have taken time out of busting the economy to protect American lives? After all, we need a Zimbabwe-like economy to understand that we truly have justice in America. Only when all of you have worked all your lives for everything you own nothing, and only when all of America that has worked for nothing has something, will you know that justice has been served. And then you will know that Obama has completed his task of bringing around hope and change. I'll be right back. Savage. Now, look, I was going to do a light show today talking about, a murder here, a terrorist incident there, a nuclear bomb there, something easy, you know, for a Friday, something nice, light and easy. But my gut tells me that you didn't want a nice, easy show, so I'm going to give you a hard show. For years I've told you that our media has become like Pravda, which means the truth in Russian. And I've told you for over a year that Obama is a naked Marxist. For 6 months, I've said to you that they smeared the conservatives by calling them neocons, while they are neo-Marxists, and the phrase is not used by anyone but me. It'll be stolen now by the hemorrhoid with ears. He'll put down his chopsticks and get out the pencil. But an article just came out that I'm going to read to you in its entirety, and I never do this. And you know where it's from? Pravda. 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 Online since January 27th, 1999. This is from Russia. American capitalism gone with a whimper. It must be said that like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of a passive, hapless sheeple. Excuse me, dear reader, I meant people. Now, I invented the word sheeple over 12 years ago. True, the situation has been well prepared on and off for the past century, especially the past 20 years. The initial testing grounds was conducted upon our holy Russia, and a bloody test it was. But we Russians would not just roll over and give up our freedoms and our souls, no matter how much money Wall Street poured into the fists of the Marxists. Are you listening carefully? Those lessons were taken and used to properly prepare the American populace for the surrender of their freedoms and souls to the whims of their elites and betters. Are you paying attention, schmuck? First, the population was dumbed down through a politicized and substandard education system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in D.C. that directly affects their lives. They care more for their right to choke down a McDonald's burger or a Burger King burger than for their constitutional rights. Then they turn around and lecture us about our rights and about our democracy. Pride, blind, the foolish. I'm reading to you from Pravda. Now here it comes. Everything we've been telling you. Then their faith in God was destroyed until their churches, all tens of thousands of different branches and denominations, were for the most part little more than Sunday circuses, and their televangelists and top Protestant mega preachers were more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. Bravo! Their flocks may complain, but when explained that they would be on the winning side, their flocks were ever so quick to reject Christ in hopes for earthly power. Even our holy Orthodox churches are scandalously liberalized in America. The final collapse has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. His spending and money printing has been a record-setting, not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for more than another year, and there is no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic and at worst Zimbabwe. Are you paying attention, schmucks? You morons who voted for Obama? You schmucks, you don't even know what you did here. Shall I go on? These past 2 weeks have been the most breathtaking of all. First came the announcement of a planned redesign of the American Byzantine tax system by the very thieves who used it to bankroll their thefts, losses, and swindles of hundreds of billions of dollars. These make our Russian oligarchs look little more than ordinary street thugs in comparison. Yes, the Americans have beat their own thieves in the sheer volumes. Should we congratulate them? This comes from Pravda, the place where truth hurts. Isn't it funny that we have to turn to a Russian newspaper to get the truth because of the Associated Press in America? How many months have I told you that Wall Street was filled with thieves? Obama was put in by Wall Street to reward the crooks, Goldman Sachs, in my opinion, Morgan Stanley, the bankers who bankrupted America were all given money back by the capitalist stooge in chief. I'll continue now from Pravda. These men, of course, are not an elected panel, but made up of appointees picked from the very financial oligarchs and their henchmen, who are now gorging themselves on trillions of American dollars in one bailout after another. They are also usurping the rights, duties, and powers of the American Congress. Again, Congress has put up little more than a whimper to their masters. Then came Barack Obama's command that GM's president step down from leadership of his company. That is correct, dear reader. In the land of pure free markets, the American president now has the power, the self-given power, to fire CEOs, and we can assume other employees of private companies at will. Come hither, go thither. The centurion commands his minions. So it should be no surprise that the American president has followed this up with a bold move of declaring that he and another group of unelected, chosen stooges will now redesign the entire automotive industry and will even be the guarantee of automobile policies. I am sure that if given the chance, they would happily try and redesign it for the whole of the world, too. Shall I go on? We are talking about the descent of your nation into Marxism at the hands of Barack Hussein Obama, a pure 100% communist.
Savage.
Yes, welcome to the USS of A, the United Soviet Socialist of America. You've gotten exactly what you wanted, you left-wing vermin. You rats, you. You vermin, you. You filth. You losers. I'm reading an article from Pravda, a Russian online newspaper, American Capitalism Gone with a Whimper, and it's about Obama being a naked Marxist, which I've told you about. They know it because they've lived through it, but you don't know anything because you're concerned with a human being who can sing a looks like the back of Stan Laurel's trousers. And then it goes on with Barack Obama taking over the automobile industry. And he says, I am sure that if given the chance, they would happily try and redesign automobiles for the whole of the world, too. Prime Minister Putin, less than 2 months ago, warned Obama and UK's Blair not to follow the path to Marxism. It only leads to disaster. Apparently, even though we suffered 70 years of this Western-sponsored horror show, we know nothing as foolish, drunken Russians. So let our wise Anglo-Saxon fools find out the folly of their own pride. Again, the American public has taken this with barely a whimper, but a free man whimper. So should it be any surprise to discover that the democratically controlled Congress of America is working on passing a new regulation that would give the American Treasury the power to set fair maximum salaries, evaluate performance, and control how private companies give out pay raises and bonuses? Senator Barney Frank, a social pervert, basking in his homosexuality, this is from Pravda, complain to Putin if you don't like it. Senator Barney Frank's a social pervert, basking in his homosexuality, of course, amongst the modern enlightened American societal norm, as well as that of the general West, homosexuality is not only not a look down upon life choice, but is often praised as a virtue. And his Marxist enlightenment has led this effort. He stresses that this only affects companies that receive government monies, but it is retroactive and taken to a logical extreme. This would include any company or industry that has ever received a tax break or incentive. The Russian owners of American companies and industries should look thoughtfully at this and the option of closing their facilities down and fleeing the land of the red as fast as possible. In other words, divest while there is still value left. The proud American will go down into his slavery without a fight, beating his chest and proclaiming to the world how free he really is. The world will only snicker. Written by Stanislav Mishin, and appearing today in Pravda. American capitalism gone with a whimper. Now, many of you are too stupid and don't have the education to even understand what you just heard. Your education level is so low, your brainwashing is so complete that you couldn't even follow that which I just read to you. All you know is racism, homophobia, global warming, and which singer on American Idol looks like the back of a pair of pants worn by the Marx Brothers. So, read it. You liberals did it to America. You destroyed the country. Chicago, Georgia, on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Dr. Savage, you know, you're the only talk show host I think that might have the intellect to answer my question. Now, with all your background in alternative health, do you think that fluoride in the water goes...
All right, look, this is a crank call. Don't ever put this guy on. He sounds like he owns Sal's Pizzeria in Chicago. Whenever you hear that, give him a knockoff job. Would you rather I read the ads on this Russian blog? Need a fast Russian visa? Russian women dating? Meet a 31-year-old wants to meet a special someone, see her profile? Jubilee? Would you like to meet a Russian woman? Drunk American girls deported from Russia? Designer Valentin Yudashkin strips as models? Now that's up your alley. There you go. That's something that you're prepared for as a girl without a top on, because that you've been prepared for by Moloch. Moloch worked you over to the point where you think that someone with lipstick and a short skirt knows more than an old man with a gray beard. That's Moloch's choice, somewhat like Sophie's choice, but in reverse. Actually, she's not bad. Designer strips. I'm not that interested in this. All right, let's not do it. Let's deal with something stupid to make you feel good. Let's deal with something basic and stupid that you can really enjoy, something on a fourth or fifth grade level, something made for talk radio. 1-800-4498. You know, I don't even want to talk anymore. I said it all. I've been warning you he's a neo-Marxist, but you don't listen to me. Instead, you want to smear me. You don't believe what I'm telling you, but you're going to suffer along with me. You think that because they came for me, you're innocent and you're free. You don't understand that they're going to come for you next. That's something you libs don't understand. You don't understand it, but I wouldn't expect you to do it because you're blinded by your own hatred. First, the population was dumbed down through a politicized and substandard education system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in D.C. that directly affects their lives. They care more for their right to choke down a McDonald's burger than for their constitutional rights. Then they turn around and lecture Russia about our rights and about our democracy. Then their faith in God was destroyed until their churches, all tens of thousands of different branches and denominations, were for the most part little more than Sunday circuses. And their televangelists and top Protestant mega-preachers were more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. That's Rick Warren. That's why he was chosen to moderate a debate. He's one of those sellouts. Their flocks may complain, but when explained that they would be on the winning side, their flocks were ever so quick to reject Christ in hopes for earthly power. Unbelievable. The final collapse has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. His spending and money printing has been a record-setting, not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for one more year, and there's no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic, and at worst, Zimbabwe. Now, that sentence makes sense if you didn't go to an American school, because you don't know what the Weimar Republic is, because your education level is that of maybe a fifth or sixth grade level. And Zimbabwe, you don't know what that is because you weren't allowed to see what happened when black rule took over in Zimbabwe when they threw the white farmers off the land. You haven't been permitted to see that because that would have been considered a racist teaching. when they kicked the white farmers off the land in Zimbabwe and gave the land to black farmers, a land that had previously been exporting food to the rest of the world became a basket case with a tin cup because they can't even grow enough food to feed themselves. That's the future of America unless Barack Obama is not stopped. He must be reined in by Congress. Unfortunately, we have no Congress. That's what I really want to talk about. But you want to talk about the other stuff. I'm not going to do it. Let's drop the pharmacist stuff. Let's stop the suicide. I know I got a full board on that already. That's the problem is then I go on to other topics. Would you rather I talk about Freddy the three-legged dog? Teddy the four-legged dog? Former Marine Sotomayor. I'm not interested in Sotomayor. I made my point. Yes, she belongs to La Raza. La Raza is a racist organization. And yes, she should resign from La Raza in order to go to confirmation hearings. That would be like asking a white person to resign from a white supremacist group. Period. End of story. La Raza is a supremacist organization and a separatist organization, by the way. Look at their own charter. Make no mistake about it. Just because they tell you it isn't doesn't mean it isn't. It is. La Raza. It means the race. The race. The race. The one and only race. So that's sort of supremacist, you see. It gives you the willies if you really understand it. So she could resign and say, you know what, I shouldn't have belonged to it. Like Obama belonged to a Reverend Wright's church for 20 years. Apparently he didn't see anything, hear anything, or learn anything. 20 years he sat in the same seat. He listened to anti-white, anti-American preachings, but he didn't hear any of it. And he even resigned from the church to run for office. And now, of course, we know that he really was sorry he was there for those 20 years. Well, I think Sotomayor should resign from La Raza. I think it's very important the American people know that. This is like a pimple on an elephant's behind, though. She resigned from it, truthfully. What's the difference? She resigns or doesn't resign. The patsies on the Republican side are going to give her a rubber stamp anyway because they're fundamentally ushers. Guys like Orrin Hatch from Utah are ushers. Senator. Senator. Reminds me of the ushers that I used to see in the Lois Valencia Theater in Queens when I was a kid. Usher. That's all. Senator. Looks like an usher in a movie theater with a flashlight showing you where to sit. And don't throw too many good and plenties at the screen. You know what I'm saying? You can throw a few. Don't throw too many. I'm very cynical about it all. I'm very cynical about what's coming under this fraud, Obama, this imposter. Now, in a sense, he's really not an imposter. He is what he is. He's a neo-Marxist, pure and simple. He has been his entire life, professional life. He has been a Marxist from the time he has been able to consciously form a thought. The man has been trained to think like a Marxist, act like a Marxist. Now you say, well, what is a Marxist? Is it really so bad? Well, let you ask the Russians. They had re-education camps. They had death camps. That's the end line of Marxism. Those who do not conform to the system wind up in these camps. Now, I know that the perverts on MSNBC would like to see me in such camps, but it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen so fast. Moreover, there are other people in America who would like to see anyone who is a true dissident wind up in these camps. They are the fascists amongst you. Now, they may walk around with halos over their heads and call themselves progressives, but make no mistake about it. Progressives are fascists. Scratch the skin of a progressive and you will find a fascist. Trust me on that one. So we have a choice right now. We can stop Obama in many different ways. He can be stopped through our Congress. We could have a million-man march on Washington to stop the spending, to stop these blowout plans that we can no longer afford, to rein this man in, or you're going to lose the country and your currency will become next to worthless. How would you like to wake up, as in Weimar Germany in the 1920s? I guess many of you don't know what Weimar Germany is. I've been talking about it for 4 years. Envision the following. After World War I, Germany was forced to admit that it was guilty of causing the whole war, even though it wasn't in World War I. Germany was forced to pay reparations to the other countries, even though they were just as guilty and complicit in World War I. It bankrupted Germany, and as a result, the German mark became near worthless. The famous picture is that of a wheelbarrow filled with paper currency being wheeled to a bakery store to buy a loaf of bread. Obama is on the road to that wheelbarrow. Do you understand what Weimar Germany is? You think it can't happen here? Every legitimate economist in the world is warning you and the rest of the world that America is on the road to becoming Weimar Germany. I'll be back. Savage. I'm talking to myself. You know, let me play. I know you don't even know who Winston Churchill is. You know who a singing star is. It looks like the backside of Stan Laurel's trousers after a hot day in a bleacher. But the fact of the matter is you don't know who Winston Churchill is. But because of Moloch, you can name the person on American Idol. Winston Churchill was a great leader of Britain. He led Britain through World War II. And then he was dumped upon by the socialists in England who threw him out. But right after World War II, Winston Churchill, you know, the kind of squat guy with a cigar, maybe you remember that in your college dorm in the midst of your drinking orgies or your marijuana parties with the other distorted images of Einstein with his tongue out, perhaps, that kind of fuzzy old physicist Einstein. Well, Churchill was the bulldog of England who talked his people through World War II. He tried to warn England all through the 30s of the coming war, and he was resoundingly put down by the socialists of his time. Just as conservatives today are being lambasted by the socialists of our time, Churchill, right after the war, tried to warn the people of England not to adopt socialism. Listen to clip 10.
Socialism is in its essence an attack not only upon British enterprise, but upon the right of an ordinary man or woman to breathe freely without having a harsh, clumsy, tyrannical hand clapped across their mouths and nostrils. A free parliament. Look at that. A free parliament is odious to the socialist doctrinaire.
Right. That's exactly what England has become now. A country where the British cannot breathe free air without a harsh, clumsy hand clasped over their mouths and nostrils. They banned Michael Savage from the UK. Do you know that they banned Israeli academics from the United Kingdom, I found out? And they will permit murderers into their country. They will permit murderers, mass murderers, into their country. It's an upside-down nation. Listen to 11 now.
No socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
Did you hear what he just said? No socialist government could permit free, violent, outspoken speech of dissent. That is exactly what I do every day. Free speech is what I do. Polite speech does not need protection. And the Gestapo in England has said you may not speak freely about what is going on in our country. And the Gestapo inside the Obama administration would like to bring about the same Gestapo on our speech in America. So listen to 12 now.
This would nip in the bud opinion and its forms. It would stop criticism and it reared its head. And it would gather all the power to the Supreme Party and the party leaders rising like stately pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants. No longer servants and no longer civil.
Now that's a leader. That's a speaker. What we have is Drek. What we have is Drek not only in talk radio, but in Congress. Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican means nothing. There is no eloquence. There's no elegance. There's no articulation. There's nothing. We've been annihilated as a civilized race. When I say race, I mean that generically, of course. We have been annihilated as a people. We have been melted down by Moloch and his likes. Moloch, who has taken over so many arms of the media, and mixing up skirts and lipstick with talking corned beefs, talking cabbages. Well, you think that the talking cabbage is a conservative when, in fact, he is simply another arm of Moloch's Hydra. Or you think that the other corned beef, the wallbanger, is giving you free speech and that he's a true conservative when he is nothing but a tentacle of Moloch himself. And just when you're starting to think you understand what wallbanger says, on come from stage left a woman with glossy lips and too short skirt to deliver to you some hee-haw news, or perhaps the weather, or perhaps the winner of a American Idol show, or a movie that Moloch has produced, or a book that Moloch has published in another one of his, from another one of his tentacles, written by a lawyer. Whatever Moloch does is promoted by another tentacle of Moloch. Moloch did it to you. It was Moloch all along. So I think this has been a very instructive hour in the Savage School of Graduate Studies of Freedom. And, of course, I'll be here for a little while longer today, perhaps, and tomorrow, and tomorrow, and tomorrow. It is Open Mic to Mike Friday. I realize you don't want to talk about such things. The week started with a nuclear explosion in North Korea that was brushed aside by the Marxists in the media in order to tell you about a human being who looks like the backside of Bud Abbott's pants after a long day at Yankee Stadium in a hot summer day. That's what's more important to you, is a human being who looks like the backside of a pair of trousers in Ringling Brothers Barnum & Bailey Circus. Why? Because Moloch makes money from that singer. And whatever Moloch wants, Moloch gets. I have read to you from Pravda today, which in Russian means the truth. AP, Pravda. ABC, Pravda. NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, CNBC, MSNBC, all tentacles of Pravda, the government media complex. 1997, Michael Savage gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, "Beware the Government Media Complex." Some of you heard it, some of you didn't.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Now we'll go from telling you about Obama's Marxism. I read an article in the last hour from Pravda, from Russia, about how Obama is bringing about Marxism and how there's no resistance to it in America. I've been telling you the same thing. But you don't listen to me because I'm only a conservative with a PhD with 25 books to my credit. What do I know? After all, I don't know as much as a disc jockey. I read that broke California is weighing closing state parks. Why don't they close emergency rooms to illegal aliens? That would save $15 billion. Why does he want to close? Well, there are other things that Schwarzenegger can do since he's such a great manager. He could lease out tracts of land in the state parks to marijuana growers, since they're using them anyway for free. He could charge them a use fee. After all, it's an eco thing to grow marijuana. It's kind of a green thing to grow marijuana. And since they're using the state parks to grow marijuana anyway, I say that Schwarzenegger should just lease out land in the state parks to the marijuana growers. Or since we're going broke as a nation, Obama could do the following. He could sell the Statue of Liberty to his counterpart in China, and the Chinese can take the entire Statue of Liberty apart, the way it was delivered by the French, can take it apart, reassemble it in an amusement park in China, and they could turn it into an amusement in China, the Statue of Liberty, where Chinese citizens get to climb up to the top where they can put it in an elevator, and they get to throw tofu balls down upon passing U.S. naval personnel who are forced to visit by the United States Navy on a cultural exchange. Since the U.S. Navy is worthless and can't fire a shot under Admiral Mullen, the Navy could visit a port in China, and the U.S. naval officers could be forced to walk underneath the Statue of Liberty, where balls of tofu would be thrown upon them by the Chinese citizenry as part of a cultural exchange. I think that that would be an approved joint visit. You know, that's in keeping with the America of today. Is that enough already, Jonathan Swift, or must I go on? I'll tell you what I want to talk about. None of the above, because no one's listening to me. I can tell you right now, it's too sarcastic. If I talked about a human being who sings for Moloch, whose face looks like the backside of Stan Laurel's keister, after a day at the Yankee Stadium, then you'll get excited. Famed producer Phil Spector gets hard time for killing an actress. Why is he a famed producer? He hasn't done anything but stuff his gullet in Dantana's for the last 20 years. Tell me what this guy has done in 30 years. Nothing. Every day, famed producer. He did one thing in the 1960s. Famed producer. He's famous for having shot an actress. Allegedly shot an actress with the wig. Look what you can get away with in America. They can catch you with a smoking gun in your house with a dead woman, and the lawyer could say he didn't do it. She did it herself. And they can keep you out of prison for years, years on end. France's First Lady Carla Bruni Sarkozy feels for her darling husband. Have you ever looked at AOL or Yahoo News? Do you understand why your daughter is so stupid? If you really want to know why your son or daughter is a moron, just look at Yahoo News or AOL News. Former President George Bush waxes nostalgic for White House living. Thanks, George. Another great genius. An openly gay male student is crowned prom queen at Los Angeles High School. That really is so good. That really makes America inclusive. Let's see what else is in the news. A popular Catholic priest who was caught frolicking with a woman is joining another church. He became a wild and crazy Protestant. Oh, look at this. This Kansas girl is the queen of the spelling bee from India. Of course. How many years have I told you? They come here in 3 months, they win the spelling bee. The rest of the idiots can't spell A, B, and C. They can't spell, but they know how to spell, I'm going to stop right here. Whatever happened with North Korea and the bomb on Monday and the missiles? Nothing. And Sotomayor, that's not important. What's important is that America is racist and we need more immigrants. We need more illegal aliens. In speech, Bush opens up about White House days. Yeah, sure, he'll open up. I had a friend over last night. He's a wealthy gentleman. Gives away a lot of money. Earned every penny legitimately. And we were sitting at my table after the radio show. Actually, was I off? Was I off yesterday? I don't even know. Was I on the air? I was on the air yesterday. Came over after the show, and we had a cup of coffee after the show. And I have a plastic tablecloth around. I have a round kitchen table with a beautiful, paisley tablecloth underneath it. Perfect, beautiful. And I have a plastic tablecloth on top of my linen. So I said, you notice I even use plastic on top of the linen. He said, that's okay. He said, do you know that when I go to a restaurant, I lay out a napkin on a cloth, on a linen cloth, because I don't like to stain the tablecloth. I said, I'm the same way. He said, it's the way we were raised. In other words, I find it embarrassing if I stain a tablecloth in a restaurant. Would you believe it? So if they give me a napkin for my chest, I like to put it on a table because I don't like to leave. It feels like you did something dirty. And yet many people today will go in a restaurant and they say, well, you know what? I'm paying for that tablecloth. And they purposely make it dirty. You know? What am I talking? I don't even know what I'm talking about. Plastic tablecloth on my table. It's very cozy. I feel good in my kitchen. Nancy Pelosi would be proud of me because it's very green. Well, it did cost carbon footprint to make the plastic. But think of how many times I haven't washed the linen tablecloth and the energy I've saved, Nancy. I mean, do I get any brownie points for that? I not feel good after I eat on it? Because you can wipe it right up. It's like being in a restaurant. Should I get rid of napkins, too, to make Nancy Pelosi feel better? Wipe my face with my sleeve, since the shirt's going to be washed anyway. Just throw away paper napkins. All right, I'll take your calls. New York WOR. Joe, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Michael, good to talk to you again. I have a first quick question. Do you think there's any light at the end of the tunnel for the Conservative
Yes,
Party?
Yes. It appears in the form of a mushroom cloud with a very, very distinct flash.
You're not, I mean, seriously, could it be
I gave you the answer. Do I think there's light at the end of the tunnel? Yes. It appears in the form of a mushroom cloud with a distinct white flash.
Is there any shot that Freddy the Three-Legged Dog could represent the Conservative Party at some point in the future and be like a Rocky Balboa character and come out and change this nation? Because I'm in the financial service business, and Obama is completely raping this nation.
That's right. He's raping this nation, and no one's speaking out. If he keeps printing money for one more year, every sane economist in the world is saying our dollar will become worthless. It will be like Zimbabwe or Weimar Germany. But that doesn't stop the anointed one from saying you ain't seen nothing yet.
Well, all of America is so complacent that everybody's just watching e-entertainment and they're not.
But why is America complacent? Because they've been dumbed down by the media. Moloch did it. Moloch owns Fox News. Moloch owns Fox Television. Moloch owns Fox Searchlight News, movies. Moloch owns Harper Publishing. Moloch owns magazines like the Weekly Standard. And he will not publish anybody who he doesn't own in one of his other enterprises to promote them. So do you understand that only Moloch's opinions get published?
Yeah, but where is the light at the end of the tunnel for us as conservatives is my question.
Oh, you mean for conservatives? I thought you meant in general is there light at the end of the tunnel. I said, yes, it comes in the form of a mushroom cloud with a white flash. For conservatives, it comes in another form.
What's that?
I'll let you figure it out. No, there is no light at the end of the tunnel because there's no leadership in the political arena. None whatsoever. Name one conservative politician you have faith in.
None. Zero. But...
Well, wait a minute. How could you not have faith in Newt Gingrich?
Years.
Newt Gingrich is the real McCoy. After all, Sean Hannity has him on all the time. He must know what he's talking about. After all, Newt Gingrich debates Al Sharpton very often. They know what they're talking about. It's give and take, isn't it?
But these guys are hiding in the hole after what's happened to you.
I know. I have no light at the end of the tunnel. That's all. I have is indigestion at the end of a show. It is light at the end of a tunnel. I got agita at the end of a show. Hey, play Louis Premille with da-da-da-da-da-da, something like that. I need a break. What do I care? What do I care? You know, we're all going to you-know-where in a basket, and you may as well enjoy it. That's all. You have any Louis Premille? All right, that's quick on the up. That's the one! Mamma mia! Oh, Lumont. Lumont's even better. That's all. Be a happy little peasant. Drive a 1955 Buick. Play backgammon in Havana. That's America. That's the future of America. Broke, decrepit buildings, and no one paints. Trickle up poverty. Michael Savage tried to warn you, but instead he was smeared by the Obama campaign. All right, turn it off. They don't even understand me, let alone Italiano. So what do you want to talk about? There's nothing to talk about. We're all talked out. No one's listening to us. There are no Republicans, so there's no opposition party. There are no Democrats, there are only socialists. So what else do you need to know? Michael, New York, WOR, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hello. The Torah has kept the Jewish people alive for thousands of years, and I'd like to compare the Constitution to...
Explain to the listener what Torah means.
And I think Obama...
Sir, hold it. In order to have a conversation, we have to talk with each other. Explain to the average listener what the Torah means.
Oh, okay. Well, you have a very educated group. The Torah is books of Moses, I guess, five very important biblical books, including...
The answer is the Torah is the five books of Moses, the original Bible,
yes,
the Holy Scriptures. All right. So what is your allegation? Is that we don't need the Constitution, we only need the Bible?
No, no. I'm making a comparison that the Torah is as important to the Jewish people as the Constitution is. It should be as important to our freedoms in the United States. And the Torah.
But the Constitution is not taught in the schools. What they teach in the schools is how to put a condom on a cucumber and not to be a homophobe or a racist. In other words, they turn our children into dummies.
For 30 years as a sub, and I agree with you totally.
Totally, totally. I'm getting a stomachache. I ate too big a lunch. Maybe that's the problem. I had a bad bottle of New Zealand wine at last night. Got up sick. I had a headache. I don't drink this time of year with allergies. And I made a mistake. If I drink, I only drink vodka and a beer. I get no headache. But I made a mistake again. I said, you know what? I want to drink wine again because I used to love wine. I can't touch it during allergy season. Oh, God, what a headache. 2 a.m, I wished I didn't have a head. And we took the land at that time out of the land of the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan. You don't want to hear any of this. What does it matter? Thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor. No, let him oppress you. No, read the Bible. It says, thou shalt not oppress thy neighbor. No, let him oppress you. That's all. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. No, let him hate you. Thou shalt not take vengeance. No, let him take vengeance on you. Nor bear any grudge against him. Blah, blah, blah. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with thy diverse kind. That's kind of, isn't that catalyst? Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Isn't that anti-diversity? Look at this. The Bible is racist. Well, not racist exactly. It's cowist. Isn't it? It's bovinist. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Woo. Man, that flies against diversity. Thou shalt not sow thy field with two kinds of seed. Neither shall there come upon thee a garment of two kinds of stuff mingled together. And whoever lieth carnally, oh, this part, I can't read any of this, this carnal stuff. Because today, everything carnal is permitted. Whatever has warm blood in it, you're permitted to cohabit with in America. You could cohabit with a mosquito. And whoever so carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, designated for a man and not at all, come on. And he shall bring his forfeit into the Lord, blah, 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 blah. You shall not eat with the blood, neither shall you practice divination, nor soothsaying. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall thou mar the corners of thy beard. That's interesting. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor imprint any marks upon... What is this? What are you flashing me? I got to take a break? I'm reading God's word here. Don't cut in for a commercial. You'll get punished by God. Okay? And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not do him wrong. No, let him do you wrong and take Social Security and welfare for nothing. I'll be right off the air in a minute. Go ahead.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had...
I am sitting here before the microphone in the Savage Studio with a giant cup of tea because I have a headache. And the cup, you wouldn't believe it, my cup says peace on it, the big sign. And it says, it does not mean to be in a place where there is no noise, trouble, or hard work. It means to be in the midst of those things and still be calm in your heart. How nice. How PC. Isn't that nice? Everything is calm and nice while America descends into Marxism. It must be said that, like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breakneck speed against the backdrop of a passive, hapless sheeple, says Pravda. But don't read it. It might wake you up, and you might recognize what is happening to you. And you don't need that. It'll make you nervous. On michaelsavage.com, you can read it later this weekend, or you can read on the right side from the Washington Times, political appointees quashed complaint against the Black Panthers. You know those fellas. The new Black Panther Party was accused of intimidating voters with nightsticks and billy clubs. Well, apparently Justice Department political appointees overruled career lawyers to end the complaint against three members of the new Black Panther Party of intimidating voters. Now, we have pictures of them with clubs outside voting booths. But since they didn't mean anything and they really didn't break anyone's skull with the clubs, I guess the Justice Department appointees felt that they needed a break. Give them a break. The incredible shrinking Clintons, what happened to Obama's gray hair, completely disappeared overnight. He dyed it. Let's see. U.S. inflation to approach Zimbabwe level. Kind of cute, papering the wall with your dollars. Sotomayor tape reveals views on discrimination case. That's where she turned down whites who were discriminated against. Swine flu hits U.S. official ahead of Obama visit. Remember that? Flu.
Savage.
All black magic has me in a spell.
It is a savage nation. What's the point of talking about Winston Churchill, about Marx? What's the difference if I'm telling you this? You don't even know who Karl Marx is. Your education is so bad in America. I'm not mad at you. I'm just telling you, you don't even understand what's going on, and I can't help you with it. I'm not trying to act arrogant. I'm not trying to talk above you. I'm not trying to talk down to you. I'm telling you that it's futile to even talk to the American people. They don't have the capacity to understand because the brainwashing is so complete. And the other lowlifes in the media who are on the major networks, even on the cable channels, these lowlifes who may not even know what they're saying, don't even understand that we are living through a neo-Marxist revolution in America. They may not even understand it. And if they did, you think they'd say anything? You think they would stop this? So here's an article from England, from The Telegraph. Barack Obama. All the bad guys are giving President Panty Waist the Finger by Gerald Warner. I'll read it to you. Kim Jong-il, the charismatic and popular, if you are a Pyongyang resident in COVID, a life expectancy of more than 24 hours. Dear leader of North Korea, is on his sixth or seventh missile this week. See the pretty vapor trail streak across Asian skies in an impressive firework display to celebrate the arrival of President Panty Waist in the Oval Office. School's out. Suddenly, there's playtime for all the naughtier elements in the more reclusive parts of the world who enjoy kicking Uncle Sam's butt but didn't much relish tangling with Dick Cheney and what was that other guy's name? This time, Comrade Kim is really throwing his toys out of the playpen. He has even unilaterally revoked the 1953 armistice between the Korean War belligerents, which means, in case anybody is interested, that North and South Korea are once more at war. So what is the response of the Messiah in the Oval Office? Really severe rhetoric is the answer. The soundbite manufacturers have been burning the midnight oil, and the auto queue is going into meltdown. So is the confidence of Asian leaders. The word is out. The most powerful nation on earth has got itself a pussycat for a president, and all the bad guys are queuing up to give him the finger. It is a measure of Obama's acknowledged impotence that some of those who are now cheeking him are doing so with a degree of sophistication they had not previously exhibited. Irony and sarcasm are being deployed in an unlikely place, Tehran. It is the worst-kept secret in the world that Iran is dependent on North Korea for the development of its nuclear program. When Kim last lit the blue touch paper in 2006, Tehran roundly supported him. This time, the mullahs have come up with a more teasing ploy. They have righteously condemned him. President Ahmadinejad of Iran said piously, "We recommend all countries not to waste national resources and other people's wealth on moving toward nuclear proliferation and making weapons of mass destruction." You have to respect for a man. You have to have respect for a man who can deliver a statement like that with a straight face. On Britain's show Got Talent, such a virtuoso performance would have knocked Susan Boyle off the radar. President Panty Waist's enemies are taking his measure, and they are liking what they see. Perhaps in some Machiavellian way, Obama thinks the appointment to the Supreme Court of a Latina woman of apparent bias, who seems unlikely to find in favor of a white male American, will either appease or frighten his foes. Come back, Dick Cheney, all is forgiven. That's from the London Telegraph by Gerald Warner, one of the few journalists left in the world. He knows what Obama is, which is basically not standing up to North Korea, not standing up to Iran. He has failed every test thrown at him. But because of the government media complex, you don't even know about it. Because of Moloch, what you know about are women with lipstick and short skirts who give you the news. Now, I suspect that because of this, if Gerald Warner wants to set foot in America, Obama could ban him. It could be that Gerald Warner will be put on a forbidden list of Britishers not permitted in the United States of America. And that is because this writer could promote inter-community tension. Gerald Warner should be banned from America. Because if he sets foot in America, he could create inter-community violence and tension just by pointing out that the president is a panty waste. And so I think that you should immediately write to the president and ban Gerald Warner from the United States of America. because we cannot have any dissidents, particularly dissidents who call the president such names. That's good. Okay. 10,000 more troops in Afghanistan. But, of course, what are they going to do in Afghanistan? I guess build roads and houses and tunnels and things like that. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com is the website. You can read that article on my website and weep. Let's go to Texas. Chris, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was thinking that it's starting to sound like we might have another Cold War on our hands. Plus, we've got the troop buildup over in the Asia.
Another Cold War on our hands?
We got the long-range missiles that North Korea is building that could possibly launch the nuclear weapons. They're in range. We're in range of the nuclear missiles, and so is Russia.
That's right. Plans long-range test. Who's going to stop Kim Jong-il? President Pantywaste?
Not Obama's not.
Certainly not the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's more concerned with how his uniform looks than how his uniform acts. Thanks for the call. What do you want me to say? The most powerful military on Earth is worthless if it's not used. You could have stopped this. Could have stopped it. You could have blown up the missile launching pads. It would have been stopped 5 years ago. You could have just blown up the missile launching pads. You could have fired interceptor missiles and blown the missile out of the sky, the test missiles. Thus far, President Pantywaste has done nothing but talk about pushing health care reform and illegal aliens into America. That's all. That's all that's on his mind. That's all. And you're more interested in somebody who looks like the backside of Buster Keaton's trousers that Moloch puts in your face every day from American Idol. Phil Spector, sentenced 19 years. I wish he'd ready to go away already. I can't stand looking at him. They say famous. It was music for the Phil Spector. No one knows him. No one knows who he is. Unbelievable. 1-800-449. So the ratings came out on cable, and it turns out that Teabag Cooper, Teabagging Cooper, is at the bottom of the heap. The dirtball, Anderson Cooper, has below a million less viewers. Look at these numbers. Mine are bigger. O'Reilly, 3.5 million. Big deal. Hannity, Wallbanger. Hemorrhoid, 2 million. Bayer, 1.8. Scarface, 1.8. Schlepp Smith, 1.7. Pat, the unisexual, 1 million. Psycho, 915,000. T-Bear Cooper, 852,000. What would you like to talk about? What's this one? Man got, Texan gets 45 years for spreading HIV through sex. Ooh. It's everyone's fear. All of the, they go to a club, they meet a guy who looks clean, and they, jury sentenced a suburban Dallas man to 45 years in prison Friday for knowingly infecting women, six women with the AIDS virus. Philippe Padu. Oh, he's French. Okay. What do you expect? French descent. Philippe Padu, described by his own lawyer as a modern-day Casanova, shook his head and looked down when the decision was read. Collin County jury convicted 53-year-old Padu on six counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Since HIV is the virus that causes AIDS, blah, blah, blah. Prosecutors contended that Padu's body fluids were a deadly weapon. Padu is a former martial artist instructor who continued to have unprotected sex after he tested positive for HIV in 05. Wow. What can you say about that? Padu took the stand in his own defense, saying he was a victim of overzealous prosecutors. He said the women who accused him all had multiple partners. I don't even want to get into this. Nothing. There's nothing to say about it. What, I'm going to ask you what you think? He's French. Anyone with a name like that, I mean, right away, you... What do you think he's going to be doing in his spare time? Building model airplanes? Bombs are going off and Prince Harry is in New York like I care about him. You hear this? What do I care about Prince Harry? Let him go back to his country and save it from the socialist morons who are running it. I'll tell you. Sotomayor. Ah! USA could intercept North Korean missile. Chose word poorly. She's apologizing? How about a membership in La Raza? Why don't she resign from La Raza? Obama is sure that Sotomayor would restate 01 comment. Oh, really? How come he doesn't extend that to me and tell me I would restate my 01, 04 comments? How come I don't get that walk? President Barack Hussein Obama on Friday personally sought to deflect criticism of Supreme Court nominee Sonia Sotomayor, who finds herself under intensifying scrutiny for saying in 01 that a female Hispanic judge would often reach a better decision than a white male judge. I'm sure she would have restated Obama flatly told NBC News. That's part of the government media complex. NBC, remember, is owned by General Electric, and General Electric is getting $1 trillion in contracts for solar and other energy in order to make sure that Obama looks good on NBC, MSNBC, and CNBC. Obama also defended his nominee, blah, 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 damage control, blah, 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 first Hispanic, blah, blah, blah. Why is that important? Can you explain to me why the fact that she's an Hispanic means anything? Can someone explain to me? She said in 2001, quote, I would hope that a wise Latina woman with the richness of her experience would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a white male who hasn't lived that life, close quote. Well, as I say, what if Robert Bork had said, I would hope that a wise white male with the richness of his experiences would more often than not reach a better conclusion than a Latina woman who hasn't lived that life? I wonder what would have happened from the vermin at NBC. That was at Berkeley. So then they say, if you look at the entire sweep of the essay that she wrote, what's clear is blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, that's nice. I wish they'd extend the same grace to Michael Savage, but they haven't done that. That's why I'm appealing to Hillary Clinton to show the same kind of grace with me. And play Gibbs, the spokesmouth.
I think she'd say that her word choice in 2001 was poor. That she was simply making the point that personal experiences are relevant to the process of judging.
See, that's out of the affirmative action playbook, where because too many people who worked very hard to get straight A's and very high SATs were getting into colleges, and they had to further destroy the universities by bringing in people who were stupider, they said that life experience was more important than brains. And consequently, the universities today are what they are. It's the same thing now with the court. Now we're supposed to hear life experiences are more important than jurisprudence. You hear this? Life experiences are more important than jurisprudence. It's right out of Mao Zedong's China, where they took a laundress and put her into the surgery and said, perform surgery, because we're a revolution, and we want to give laundresses a chance to be surgeons. But again, that's too high up on the understanding scale. Sorry, pardon me. Thank God it's Friday. God, am I glad it's Friday. How much can a man take? I mean, when it's hopeless like this. See, I could do this for 15 years when there was hope that there'd be a conservative candidate. Instead, the exact opposite happened. We got a neo-Marxist. Why? George Bush did it. That's all. What would you like to talk about? Anything you want to talk about. It's Open Mic Friday. GM in last lap to Chapter 11. Would you like to buy an Obama late? See the USA in Obama's way.
See
America is asking you to crawl.
USA in your Chevrolet.
No. Stop it. Stop it. That's the old song. The new song is See the USA in Obama's way. America is asking you to crawl. That's the new American song, but it goes to Dinah Shore's tune. Play the tune now.
See the USA in your
Chevrolet. In Obama's way,
America
Obama is asking you to crawl.
Drive your Chevrolet through.
All right, you get the picture. Turn it off. It's not funny. Timing is everything. Do it quick. Get in, get out. Keep playing it. You sound like the hemorrhoid with chopsticks. You should have hit a cymbal on that one. Everything you read is so bad. Things are bad all over. I never saw anything like this. Whew. A ruling by Sotomayor. See, you have to be politically correct. And not, you can't say Sotomayor. Then you sound like you're stupid. And you can get arrested for it. You have to show that you really understand the patois. So you say, a ruling by Sotomayor. Then you really say, wow, man, you're smart. Wow, Sotomayor, that's really cool. A ruling by Sotomayor and two other judges last year upholding the invalidation of a New Haven firefighter exam has stirred controversy and left bitterness among those who were affected. What it means is this. They gave an actual exam to be a firefighter where I guess you had to spell and you had to add and you had to read at, let's say, a fifth grade level. And most of the people who passed it were white. And even the fifth grade exam was too much for others who couldn't pass the fifth grade exam because they said it was racist to make people happen to read and write and be able to spell. And Sotomayor said it's good that we should have firefighters that cannot read or add or spell. What's important is that we have a fire department that looks diverse. That's very important. What do you expect it to do? Attorney Karen, with Frank Ritchie and lead plaintiff in the city firefighters' reverse discrimination case. With a single paragraph, Judge Sonia Sotomayor and two colleagues dashed the hopes of firefighters here who believed they'd scored high enough on exams to win a promotion. But they were thrown out in order to make certain that the fire department looked diverse. That's what's important. It's not that they were the best and the brightest, but that they were the most diverse. And they were all white, by the way, the guys who passed the exam. You hear this? Why, that's unusual. Look at San Francisco. They didn't want any more white men in the fire department. They had to advertise in China 5 years ago to get women from China in the fire department to make sure it was diverse. I don't think there's been a fire in the city in 20 years. So many firemen and this and that. Who can afford all of these retirement benefits? $1 million, $800,000, $700,000. They don't realize that the retirement funds are going to be gone. The lead plaintiff, Frank Ricci, who is dyslexic, said he prepared exhaustively for the test and paid someone to record study materials so he could learn by listening. At a trial in 06, the firefighter's lawyer argued the city tossed the exams because elected officials were worried about losing support among black voters. Oh, yeah. Well, let me remind you of something. This is called a reverse discrimination case, but let me remind you that there's no such thing as reverse discrimination. There is only discrimination. It cuts one way. Discrimination is discrimination is discrimination. It's not called reverse discrimination. It's only called that by those who want you to think that it's reverse. It's discrimination against white men. That's what it is. Period. End of story. Obama's GM plan looks like a raw deal. No kidding. Even Ralph Nader is saying that. He gave it to his cronies and the union. You want to know any more about it? He gave General Motors to the unions and to his cronies to bust out like a sporting goods store. The key players in the overhaul of General Motors includes a young hedge fund executive who Obama met in college. Knows nothing about cars, but he knows how to bust out a sporting goods store. I'll be right back.
Life could be a dream.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Here's a breaking article. Muslim group shuts down conservative conference. It was ready to go, and the manager of a Nashville hotel canceled a contract with a conservative foundation that was supposed to be held on radical Islam. It included a former U.S. attorney. It included a military expert and filmmaker Geert Wilders. The managing director of Lowy's Vanderbilt Hotel and Office closed it down at the last minute for the health and safety of the audience. You like that? It turns out, though, that the manager of the hotel, Mr. Negri, also serves on the board of advisors of the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition. In other words, you get it? Earlier this month, that group won an award from the Migration Policy Institute, which is funded by grants from the J.M. Kaplan Fund, the left-wing group that funds the ACLU, the Tides Foundation, the Tides Center, the Sierra Club, the Southern Poverty Law Center, and other radical left-wing groups. So now this hotel is going to be sued by the conservative organization for breach of contract, and I hope they win $100 million. You cannot permit any group to close down a conference, or we're going to lose the country. There's other bad news. I don't have the time for right now. We have another big hour in the Savage Nation. Military options needed for North Korea, says former Defense Secretary Perry. No kidding. President Pantywaist is too busy, though, taking over businesses and trying to pass a Cuba-style healthcare revolution to save America from nuclear weapons. Do we have a U.S. ambassador to the U.N.? Yes, we do. What's her name? Don't know. Has she done anything? No. She's another do-nothing Obama appointee who has nothing to say. Another cream pie. Army chief says U.S. is able to fight North Korea if necessary. Sure. Right. Oh, yeah. We're ready everywhere. Go get them, boys. Go get them, boys. We really feel safe under the president. Oh, yeah. I think they may withdraw Sotomayor, and then what's going to happen is wait till you see who he picks next. He'll pick a far more radical left-winger. Wait till you see who he pulls out next. Wait till you see the next one. I personally think she's finished the racist comments. I said yesterday, all right, she's probably the least of the batch of the worst, but you're going to see she's going to be withdrawn. She's never going to. The American people don't like this racist stuff.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Can you play music? I'm feeling like in my head dead. It's like I feel death. Thank you. I love Spanish when it's spoken properly, not mixed in with the Indian dialect. I don't like the way they say hamburger from Mexico. I'm sorry, it's the way. I studied Castilian Spanish, which I thought was a lovely language. The way it's spoken in California, I don't even know what language it is. Oh, it's Benny Moré. It's like German and Yiddish. I mean, you shouldn't say things like that, I understand. Which is a mixture of Low German and Hebrew. It's like a secret code language. I'm an expert in languages, incidentally. I speak one perfectly, and I understand all others. They're disappearing on the earth like endangered species, for good reason. I mean, when have you last gone to a movie that was in the Middle German? When have you last gone to a movie that was done in Yiddish? Well, Mel Gibson, to his credit, did a movie in the Mayan language. That was a brilliant stroke. I like that movie, by the way. What was the name of that, Beowulf? Apocalypto, fabulous movie. My heart was pounding the whole time. I could have done without the subtitles. And when the women were hiding in the hole with the kid, man, the whole plot was horribly frightening. But why he had to do it in Mayan? He couldn't get... Remember in the old days in the 50s when they did Cowboys and Indians? All the Indians were like Jews. They were friends of the directors. They were like fairly well-built guys from Brooklyn. And they put like a wig on him. Mi tanto. It was unbelievable. The guy's name was Myron Silverman. And all the guys were Jewish guys from Brooklyn out in Hollywood on the make. They made them into Indians. Remember those days? The same thing. I'm not saying they should have not chosen Mayans for Apocalypto, but they had to go as far as a language? That it put the Mayan language in there? I mean, who speaks Mayan anymore except three professors at Yale? But anyway, that's besides the point. What I was really thinking about talking about was something entirely different, but I haven't gotten to it yet. Ready? What am I going to say? He was a great hero. He's better than Dwight D. Eisenhower because he ordered military challenge and success. No. No, it wasn't. A great military challenge was the Hitler of our time saying, with a smirk, I developed enough centrifuges finally to make an atomic bomb. And Israel saying, I'll break another pizza matzah over your head if you do one more thing. And doing nothing. And America saying nothing. And then North Korea, I'm going to build it, I'm going to launch it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to launch it. He launches it, nothing happens, even though we have a warship. That's all. So I went on my boat yesterday. It was so gorgeous going out. I hadn't been on my boat in a month. I went out under the Golden Gate Bridge in a beautiful maybe 5-10 knot wind, brisk, sunny. And when we got out to Point Bonita and I turned my boat back, my boat turns like a railroad, like a Pullman car. I got to tell you something. This boat, you know what it is? I've been thinking about buying a new boat. I just want to tell you about something very important. It's going to lead to the economy. It's not about me and my boat so much. Everyone's saying, oh, your boat is 6 years old. Get a new boat. You got to get a new boat. You know, how many more years do you got to live? Treat yourself, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like one of these guys that doesn't like new things necessarily. I hold on to old cars and old things, even old clothes. I have clothing from graduate school that I hide in the closet that when people are out of town, I'll wear because they feel it's like old leather jackets. Who says a new leather jacket's better? I don't like the smell of formaldehyde anyway. It takes 10 years to leave the jacket. I have the boat. This boat was designed so well, it is such a classic that I'm never going to sell it. I understand that Paul Newman, who died recently, had an old Jaguar that he kept. And I think it was an XK-140. Why do you want to sell a classic? So what I'm saying is, I don't need anything new. It's the same with the other thing. You get into the economy. I'm going to talk about it for a minute. Give me, I hear people saying, oh, the economy's so bad that they're having to tighten their belt. And what does that mean? Oh, one family that had a lot of money, now they don't have a lot of money, lost their money to Madoff. They went to Disney World and they told the children, don't order drinks at the pool. You hear this? That was their idea of deprivation. You hear? No drinks at the pool, deprivation. Unbelievable to me. I grew up with fly paper in a one-room apartment with six relatives. We had fly paper in the summer. You don't even know what fly paper is? You only see that in like movies about Chiapas, Mexico. I actually had fly paper in my house when I was young. We had fly paper. What's the big deal? It was less toxic than the chemicals they spray now, giving babies leukemia. Fly paper did the trick. No baby licked fly paper because it was so intelligently designed. It hung from the ceiling, and the fly got attracted to it, flew on it, got stuck, and died a horrible death. That's all. But who in those days cared about a fly? Today, everyone's so sensitive. Oh, Peter, look at the poor fly suffering. They shouldn't. It's an inhumane death. Everything's inhumane to them. Inhumane. Everything humane. The way a fly dies is their business. Everything's inhumane except what they're doing to the country.
Savage.
So let's go back to the callers. We got Martin, who's been holding kindly from Cincinnati, Ohio. Martin, go ahead, please. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I tell you, you earlier talking about the complete freedom, and just like with the socialism, how it's a bad thing. I believe complete, total liberty is the good thing, because then people can do whatever they want. And if they choose to do something...
Slow down. Come on, Martin, you're pulling my leg, because you know that there's no such thing as absolute freedom.
Well, but if there was... You mean the
freedom, let's say, for you to walk down the street and grab a child off the street and kiss them? Is that what you mean by freedom?
No, could be viewed as like infringing on that child's rights. So that would be against the law.
Okay. Wait. You just said against the law. Why would we need law if you believe in total freedom? Why would we need any law at all? So wait, you're agreeing that we need some law, correct?
Yes, the Constitution.
Hold on. Why do we need some law?
Well, because we can have order that way. Chaos is, like, unproductive.
All right. So we agree, therefore, that total freedom would lead to anarchy. So you and I both agree that we don't need anarchy. We don't want anarchy. It would be harmful to the freedom that we both want to enjoy, the freedoms we wish to enjoy, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So an orderly society needs some laws. We agree on that. But not too many laws. Not laws that infringe on our fundamental freedoms and liberty. We agree on that.
Maybe. I believe in, like, the total freedom to do whatever we want as long as it doesn't interfere or infringe on anyone else's rights to do what they want, which is... Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds good in theory. That sounds good in theory. But there are limitations to that, I mean, that we can start arguing over. You do understand that... Let's start with the obvious, a highway, a roadway, four corners. We both agree you need red lights, yellow lights, and green lights, or else cars would crash into each other, right?
That's correct, yes.
All right, wait, so that's a good analogy for why we need some laws. Because otherwise we'd be crashing into each other or shooting each other or molesting each other or whatever, punching each other in the nose over the slightest disagreement, correct?
That's different than traffic law. That goes back to our freedom of liberty. Like, traffic law is essentially just structure, just like building codes, like things have to be buried 3 feet because of the frost line. But as far as our choices for moral behavior, I believe that's the government's complete hands-off, because my view is that...
You mean complete hands-off. So, again, we're arguing you should be able to go up and kiss a child in the street?
Well, I mean, at one time people did that in some cultures. I mean, as long as my intent wasn't malicious, then it's not...
Well, what culture could they go up and take somebody else's child and kiss them on the lips?
Well, I don't know. Maybe... Well, the Pope gives people kisses...
you're pulling my leg. You know that if you did that, someone would probably shoot you if you grabbed their child and kissed them on the lips and they didn't want you to. I mean, come on, you'd probably be tarred and feathered in this country today. There are no absolutes.
Savage.
We are moving away from human reproduction. We are moving into government control of the production of human beings. As you well know, Obama is a dictator in the making. He's an embryonic dictator. And this embryo of a dictator, if he is not stopped, if this embryo of a dictator is not resisted, if there is no resistance to this embryonic dictator that we have, my friends, anything is possible. No one man should be permitted to have passed 17 executive orders in less than 2 months. And yet that has happened right in front of your eyes. And so this most dangerous radical college professor has bypassed Congress, bypassed the people. He's telling you that you wanted the Brave New World when nobody asked you what you wanted. But the fact of the matter is that Obama's policy is not moderate at all. It is not a moderate policy. According to the article in Wall Street Journal, it will promote a whole new industry of creating and destroying embryos. It will include the creation of human embryos by cloning for research in which they are destroyed. And it forces American taxpayers like you, who see the deliberate taking of human life in the embryonic stage as unjust, to be complicit in this murder. Obama made a big point in his speech of claiming to bring integrity back to science policy. And he said he wanted to remove the previous administration's ideological agenda from scientific decision-making. I agree with the authors that this claim of taking science out of politics is both false and misguided. First of all, the Obama policy itself is radical, leftist, and political. It is red meat to his Bush-bashing, Bush-hating, Republican-hating base, and yet pays no more than lip service to the new science, the new breakthroughs in science that would make possible the production of cells that are biologically equivalent to embryonic stem cells without the need to kill or create human embryos, in other words, from adults. And I want to pause here again for those of you who don't have science background. It's okay, you don't need to. What are we talking about when we say stem cell research? What is a stem? Think of a stem on a tree. From a stem grows a branch. From a branch grows the leaf and the fruit. It's the same with human cells. You start with a stem cell, in essence, really an embryonic cell. It's not really an embryonic cell, it's just an early cell. And from let's say you have nerve damage and you want to repair this nerve damage. What you would try to do is get a stem cell and encourage it through scientific methods to grow additional cells, additional nerve cells, which then can be used to restore your damaged nervous system area, okay? But you don't need to do this from embryos. This can be done from adult cells. Obama knows this, yet Obama is a deceptive pretender. Obama is a radical Marxist by every definition. Now, I've been calling him a neo-Marxist for about 60 days because I've seen what he's been doing. I won't be the last. I'm only going to be the first, as usual, in defining what this president is. I am always ahead of the curve. I am warning you that you're being dragged down an unbrave new world and you'll regret it in the future. The fact of the matter is, Obama revoked not only the Bush restrictions on embryo killing research funding, but he also revoked the 07 executive order that encourages the NIH to explore non-embryo destructive sources of stem cells. You understand that? In other words, it was a very political claim. And getting to that point, his claim about taking politics out of science is not only a lie, but it's anti-democratic. You see, the question of whether to destroy human embryos for research purpose is not really a scientific question, is it? It is a moral and civic question about the limits of science, the uses of science, the ambitions of science. And as I described, we understand what happens when science is not controlled by a government. And that can lead to a human experimentation. Mengele, the mad Nazi doctor, used living Jews to experiment upon. The real issue here is how we're going to treat members of the human family at the very dawn of life. Are there not alternative paths to medical progress that respect human dignity? Of course there are. You understand this? And so, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I believe in democracy. But if we want to destroy and mistreat the most vulnerable human lives, we are doing so at our own moral peril. And for Obama to say that we are taking politics out of science is a very, very sad, sad statement indeed. Now, this stem cell debate is going to continue, not only on this show, but throughout America. It has not been continued on CNN, It has not been continued on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox News, more snotty nonsense by chicks. It's a done deal to these anti-democratic forces of the media. And they don't even understand what they have done here. They have no idea. Father, forgive them, for they do not know how they have sinned. They have no idea how they have sinned. But I have a moral obligation on this radio show, don't I, to use the gift not only of my minor, fleeting fame and importance in radio and in thinking in America. And I repeat, minor, fleeting fame, because that is what God has given me. Minor, fleeting fame is not to be used for my own aggrandizement, but to do God's will and God's work on this earth. You don't have to believe me whether I'm sincere or not. It doesn't matter whether you do or not. I don't care whether you think I'm the most cynical manipulator on earth. It doesn't matter to me. I go to sleep at night, and I sleep soundly. I'm not a perfect person. I'm far from it. I'm as flawed as the next man, if not more so. However, when it comes to this radio show is the most sacred part of my life. I know that this accident called talk radio, meaning my entering talk radio 15 years ago, this accident that saved my professional life from the fires of unemployment, the fires of hell itself, caused by the liberal social engineers who wanted to put me on the dustbin of history. This was not an accident. I'm not in front of you by accident. I'm here for a reason and for a purpose. I got to tell you something, people listening to the show. I want to thank you again. I mean, I don't do this enough. It is about me, and you have to be an egomaniac to do talk radio well. Let's be clear about it. In order to get up here on this stage every day and talk and have the guts to do it and say what you believe and take the heat, take the laughs, take the pratfalls, you have to have an awesome ego. And I got to tell you something. God knows I was blessed with that. But there has to be more to it than just that, or it wouldn't go on very long. There's a lot of people with big egos who are schmucks. They have no substance, no brains, no education, nothing to offer whatsoever. They're not even good enough to be a nightclub comedian. Maybe they'll work for Obama. But, I want to thank you for being such a loyal, loyal audience for 15 years. I didn't do this last week. I didn't thank you enough. Maybe I said it in passing. I know you listen for you, not for me. And that's understandable. We live in such a horrible world that when a light appears somewhere out there that is so remarkably different and is so bright, and you understand immediately that I am telling you the truth and I am giving you the emiss on what's going on in this country and how evil it all really is. And I again want to thank you from the absolute bottom of my being for listening to the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of the Savage Nation.
Obama's being put on the couch, and I'm going to ask, how bad is Obama's woman problem? Not does he have a woman problem, because he does, but I'm going to ask, how bad is Obama's woman problem? Why am I doing this? Because it's true. Barack, there is no question about it. But we have to ask ourselves, what exactly is Obama's problem with women? To find the answer, we must return to Obama's childhood and examine his relationship with his mother. In 1961, Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, married Obama's father, a man from Kenya. The man from Kenya soon abandoned the family. Within 3 years, they were divorced. In 1967, his mother married another man, this time an Indonesian. A few years later, she was divorced again. Through all this time, Obama's mother went globetrotting from Hawaii to Indonesia to Pakistan. Sometimes she took her young son with her. Sometimes he was left behind. What appears to have happened to Obama as a result is he developed symptoms of what psychologists refer to as an Oedipal complex in Freudian terms. In an Oedipal complex, a male child is fixated on his mother and competes with his father for maternal attention. I want to repeat this for many of you because Freud, although is no longer popular, he was a towering giant compared to the Lilliputians in psychology today. And much of what Freud wrote will eventually rise again back to the towering genius that it was. while the Lilliputians of today who debunk him and say that behavioral psychology or drugs are all you really need will be forgotten. So let me repeat again. I think in analyzing this as an amateur psychologist that Obama has developed a very serious Oedipal complex. Again, I will repeat that in an Oedipal complex, according to Freud, a male child is fixated on his mother and competes with his father for maternal attention. In such cases, a critical point of awakening occurs where the child realizes that the mother has affections for others besides himself. In this case, Obama had to compete with multiple paternal stand-ins and was never fully able to bond with his mother. The result seems to have been a resentment towards women that he has never been able to get beyond. Furthermore, excessive separation within an Oedipal complex often leads to a sense of helplessness that can in turn lead to patterns of idealized control and self-sufficiency. Did you hear what I just said? This complex often leads to patterns of idealized control and self-sufficiency, which I think shines through in his often arrogant smile. Now, Obama's mother sent him to live away from her when he was 10. And again, he was sent away when he was 14. It seems clear that this excessive separation in the absence of a father has led to a pattern of idealized control that Obama has not only imposed on himself, but now wants to impose on the United States of America. Obama's mother was a free spirit who traipsed around the world following her own self-interests. And while there's nothing wrong with that in itself, you cannot ignore the effects that such narcissism has had on her children, especially when one of those children wants to be the... It seems Obama has a woman problem. He wants both to win their approval and control them at the same time. Unfortunately for him, to control in their love for men, but they are feminists in terms of self-reliance. Attacking such strong women in an attempt to control them has never worked and will not work for Obama. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of this monologue. Questions for today. Do you think Obama has a woman problem, as evidenced by lipstick on a pig? Do you think he has an Oedipal complex? And therapists in particular, those of you who are traditional therapists, if you agree with me that he has an Oedipal complex, how bad a complex is it on a scale of 1 to 10? What do you think Obama's Oedipal complex would rate? 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I would especially welcome calls from real psychologists and psychiatrists who understand the context in which this is presented. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Houston, Texas. Scott, go ahead. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Afternoon, Doc. Pleasure to talk to you. I am a psychiatrist, and I deal with the Oedipus complex both with children and with adults. And a trend that happens in the adult side of someone who cannot shake it is the female counterpart, in this case we're going to look at his wife, actually becomes shelter for the now adult male. So he's found that love. He's found that attraction. He has that wife, but
yes,
she is more the controlling part of him. And, of course, we're not going to see it because it's Obama on the stage, not his wife for the most part. But
right. So, but Michelle is more or less a mother figure for him, you know, as is true in many marriages, not just in his marriage. But, you know, you are a psychiatrist, probably a little older on the order of someone who grew up in Freudian, in studying Freudian psychiatry. Am I right?
Actually, I'm 32 years old.
Oh, you got me full there, because the younger guys don't believe that Freud has any validity.
The younger guys don't read enough. Unfortunately, I grew up in a generation that's incredibly lazy and is phased out by video games and Cleveland Notes.
Yeah. But I'm saying you are a psychiatrist in the sense of you. Are you an MD psychiatrist?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so you're the real McCoy, as opposed to the overnight degrees from shady little colleges where they practice family therapy and things of that nature and tell everybody that they're gay and to simply leave their husband or wife and follow their inner gayness. That seems to be the be-all and end-all. If only you follow your inner gayness, you'll be perfectly happy for the rest of your years. But getting back to the seriousness of this discussion, do you believe that I am onto something here with my analysis of Obama with regard to the Oedipal complex?
Absolutely, because I mean, it does exist. Like I said, there is a trend that can exist throughout the lifetime of a male human being, and what happens is they find a steady female in their life, and it can be a best friend, it can be a wife, which is what I'm going to use in this situation, and that becomes the center of the world. That becomes the yes. The
well,
no.
let's go back to Bill Clinton for a minute. This is an interesting discussion now. Bill Clinton, didn't he have an issue with a mother who had a sort of clouded past?
You know, I'm not educated.
Well, let's put that one aside. Let's say a man has a mother who is unreliable emotionally to him. Let's put it in a more broad context. That kind of man can go many different directions, obviously. The human condition is unlimited in what it can produce. But very often that type of relationship between a mother who's flirty, flighty, multiple partners in cases, I'm not reflecting the Obama here or Clinton, that type of guy can seek security through a steady relationship with a woman and then cheat on that woman for the rest of his life in order to, in some ways, get even with his mother who was cheating on him.
Absolutely. That person is going to mimic and mirror a lot of those things that he saw in his mother being a role model, having multiple partners and things of that nature. He's going to mimic that throughout his life.
Now, we then get to the next issue of several allegiances. Now, this is very intriguing. Obama seems to be breaking apart and making some mistakes, and I think that we're seeing parts of him that he's had very well controlled until now, Scott. Do you agree with that analysis?
Oh, absolutely. And he's slipped up, you know, several times, but the media hasn't blown it up. I remember he made one comment in regards to if one of my daughters got pregnant and made that mistake at a young age, and he was speaking in regards of abortion, and he used the words mistake and things of that nature. He has slipped up. He's made several slip-ups, but of course no one's going to hound in on it, and no one's going to pay attention to it.
Well, that's why we're putting Obama on the couch, and I conclude that I think he has a woman problem. I don't know the degree to which this Oedipal complex is operational, but I think his slip of the tongue with the lipstick on a pig comment indicates a contempt for women that has already backfired on him, and all the king's horses and all the king's men will not put Obama together again. Thank you for the call. This is the Savage Nation. As usual, the unusual. I'll be right back. Savage. Story for the New York Post. It's rather trivial, but it leads to another question. And that is, it's a countess from Sweden, 32 years old. She marries a 65-year-old American rich man, CEO of United Technologies, 66 years old. She's now 36. Now they're at a divorce trial, and they were accusing each other. And they claim that there was this and that, sleeping with each other. Now the lawyer's saying, did you sleep with her after you broke up? Because if you did, if you had sex, it means the post-nup has no validity. So he says, yes, we slept together, but there was no sex. You hear this? So no matter what these women get, I mean, she's already going to get, I think, $36 million no matter what happens. If the judge believes they reconciled, he may toss out an 05 post-nup, granting her a measly 600,000 shares of United Technologies stock, currently worth $36 million. If the judge throws that out, this gold digger will grab more of this man's $329 million fortune, all for a little sex. You know, and this leads me to the conclusion that the post-nup always rings twice. And with the lawyers today, of course, the post-nup does always ring twice. But it leads me to another question about post-nups and prenups. And I'd like to ask you out there, I'm going to get off politics for a minute, although it's very political. Is there anyone listening to the show who has a pre- or post-nup horror story that you'd like to share with us here on the Savage Nation? The husband's side contends that the post-nup is rock solid and that she's being greedy and grabbing for any more of his hard-earned $321 million fortune. She always wants more, 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 complained the man's lawyer. Too much is never enough. In other words, she's a you-know-what. We won't even use the word. Los Angeles, KGIL country. Mark, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I was definitely taken advantage of with a prenup agreement. I signed an agreement with my wife who had never earned a dime in her life before I married her. I was a stockbroker, and my commissions were approximately $1 million a year. However, I only got to keep about 45% of that.
Right.
And my agreement with her was that she would get about $100,000 a year afterwards if we got divorced. Well,
right.
Her attorney decided to value my business. They multiplied my $1 million a year total commissions times 20 years and said my business was worth $20 million and awarded her $10 million.
Well, wait, they never heard of income taxes in Los Angeles courts?
They didn't understand it. The attorneys didn't understand. The judges didn't understand. I was making 400 and some thousand a year, not $1 million.
So she was awarded $10 million, and did you actually have to pay it?
Well, unfortunately, I settled with her, and I got around it. I took advantage of it because I was supposed to give her a Mercedes, and I gave her my pension account, which she had to pay tax on everything she took out of it.
Good. I only hope that she suffered.
Well, the Mercedes, I took a loan against the house and bought the car.
I would have given her a Mercedes with a blown crankshaft, and a wheel should have fallen off on Highway 1.
She never made more than $10,000 in her life.
And where is she today? What, she become a lesbian?
No, she's single, living well.
Terrible. No, it's a horrible story what they do to men today in these courts. Horrible. A nightmare. But you're still laughing. I can tell you that something tells me you're still having a good time, Mark.
Well, I'm doing okay.
We don't want to know about it. Why is it that sex is so expensive in America? In other words, the guy falls in love. He sees stars in his eyes. It's only good for 90 days, that passionate, hot sex, Mark. You know that.
I know that. No one has sex with their wife.
Well, no, 90 days is the maximum. 90, 91 days. It's been studied. This has been studied inside and out. 90 days of great sex, and that's about it. After that, the rest is a nightmare.
100% agreement with you.
Hey, before you go, Mark, because you're so good-natured, remember, were you listening to the time I told the story? I was in Newport, I think last spring, and I walked into a bar like the Rusty whatever, and there was this huge guy like a Hell's Angel in there with a T-shirt on. And the back of his T-shirt, he was laughing with his friends. He had a slogan on the back, and it said, "It's better to have loved and lost, ... than to have been married to a psychotic you-know-what for 38 years.
Savage.
Tucson, Arizona. Todd, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I was hoping to brighten your Friday with a good story. I met a lady in the parking lot that was listening
to
your
radio. Hold it now. This is a family show, sir.
Oh, yeah. She was listening to your radio program, a little French immigrant lady. And
yeah.
I was listening to the fact she was listening to your program, and I looked at her and said, "Are you listening to Dr. Savage?" And the look on her face was like I caught her stealing or something. She looked up as she turned the radio down, and she apologized to me, and I started laughing. I said, "Oh, no, ma'am." I said, "I love Dr. Savage. He's great." And she got into some stories about her French culture and coming from France, and, I mean, the praises that she had for you and how accurate you were and the way you described, you know.
Why did she turn the show off, do you think? Because, what, she was afraid you were a hater of the show?
More than likely. That's what I mean. She kind of had that embarrassed, like, you know, she got caught doing something she shouldn't have.
Well, she sounds like a nice lady, also very shy. And how did it end up? Okay, or someone pulled a gun out in the parking lot?
No. She was kind of woman you'd want to, you know, go have a drink with and chat.
Hold it now. As I said, it's a family show. We can't go there. Well, how old a woman was she, Todd?
Oh, she was probably in her, I'd say 70s.
But she was French, so therefore the rules still apply.
<Very good.
laughs> Hey, thanks for thinking of me. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. It's a light day. Play another Bobby Darin. You did it already beyond the sea. What else do we have for him? Of him.
Every night I hope
and this? That's not Bobby Darin. This is Bobby Darin? I don't like it. I'm not into it. Let me hear something that reminds me of a 57 Chevy, two four-barrel carburetors, fins. Give me, like, I don't know. Give me Danny and the Juniors at the Hop. There you go. That's it. Give me something, a real throwback song. I want throwback. I want muscle car music. I don't want to hear about senior sins. makes you want to get out in a convertible, doesn't it, and race around? All right, turn it off. We're having too much good feelings here on the Savage Nation. I've got to get the angst going in order to keep the audience listening. I got to get them angry, I suppose. But I may not be doing much more of it. I am so beyond anger. I am so beyond rage at the political machine. I am so beyond wanting to change the Democrat or Republican parties that I could care less. I become apathetic at this point. I may change. Don't call me and tell me not to be apathetic. It's the greatest crime. All right, I understand that. I may continue to talk about filet of soul and my dog for a while and the red brick buildings and how I can feel the semen in the brick. I mean, S-E-A-M-E-N, the semen in the brick. It was an area where the semen were waylaid over the years. They'd go into their bars, get you know, knockout drops, next thing you know, they'd be put on a ship somewhere. And I could feel this in this area, the Barbary Coast. You walk down these streets, it's filled with, like, art galleries, antique stores, a lot of lawyers for some reason. Thankfully, most of them went out of business in the last year, and the buildings are vacant. But they were formerly, like, little hotels for seamen and, you know, prostitutes, dance halls, that kind of thing here in San Francisco from the Gold Rush era. The buildings date to, like, you know, Civil War, post-Civil War period. I've always liked, even when I went to St. Louis, I'd go to the gas lamp district. If I went to Seattle 20 years ago, I'd always go to Old Town. I always liked Old Town. Old Town, Old Town. Whatever city I'm in, I go to the Old Town. Why is that? Like, when I went to Quebec when I was a youngster, I used to love Quebec because of the feeling of the old city of old Quebec, the paving stones, the Chateau Frontenac. I used to love shooting down that, what do they call that, where you go in like a sled, a toboggan run they had at the hotel? Wow. You get a bottle of brandy, you drink half of it, and you get in the toboggan. Before you know it, you're sailing along and you're having fun. What do you want me to do? Politics, food, music, science, poetry, global warming, how to care for children, vitamins, the care and feeding of children, as I say. Anything you want me to talk about would be great. I think that the time for liberals and conservatives in this country to come together and defeat the Islamofascists before it's too late is really upon us. Unless the radical liberal comes to understand that his greatest enemy is not the conservative, this country is doomed because a house divided cannot stand.
Savage.